This isn't about, well, they had to make some business choices because maybe people weren't buying enough milk and bread and sugar in the local Chicago neighborhoods. No, they were running for their lives, for God's sake. They were shutting down. They couldn't shut down fast enough and get those stores closed. Welcome to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick, along with my partner, Mike Sparazza. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
I am good. I am good. We talked about this on our morning show. We got a Bills win this week. That felt good.
Oh, that was so good.
Yeah. So hopefully they keep that going in Washington this week. Let's hope so.
Yeah, and it's definitely a palpable feeling in Western New York and across, I guess, Buffalo Bills fan land when they win versus when they lose. And so I don't know. Everyone moves around and walks around, talks like very optimistically. If you pay attention, some people go, "I don't even know. I don't even know what the game did. You know, who won?" But it's a pretty cool thing when a lot of people get together and actually there's a victory and there's more optimism. So
0-2 would have been bad this year. Oh. It's a tough conference this year. So 1-1 and go beat up Washington, and then you got a big one against Miami. So let's
They're a scary team. Yeah. A lot of offensive power over there in Miami. So, Mike, first, I need to make a correction. I mentioned on our Morning Mike's episode yesterday that Philadelphia was looking at government-controlled grocery stores. I was wrong, and I think it's important that we confess our sins.
Fact checkers.
Fact check. Yeah. We correct our mistakes. It was actually Chicago, Mike, another wonderfully run liberal Democrat city in a very wonderful Democrat-led and controlled state called Illinois. Well, Illinois, Mike, just so you know, is now also what I'll call a no-cash bail required state. And this was pushed by, you'd guess it, Illinois Democrats.
No.
The idea here is judges can now determine whether individuals accused of a specific set of felonies or violent misdemeanors pose a risk to another individual or to the community at large. So, you know, once again, we need to go to bat for these people that are alleged criminals and forget about the victims, Mike, because the victims, you were victimized, allegedly, and you better seek some help, seek some safety, because these folks might not be held. They might not even have to produce bail to be held. Is this just absolutely absurdity? Like, some violent crimes, Mike, violent crimes, they might not have to post a bail. They could just basically be let out. And as long as you come back within 48 hours for your hearing, you know, then we'll deal with it.
As long as you
come
back to court in 48 hours.
Come back.
We laughed yesterday because you realized right after Morning Mike's that you put in Philadelphia instead of Chicago.
It was weighing on my Christian mind.
Yes, it was.
I'm thinking of the Catholic school nuns and priests that I grew up with, you know, in education. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I have to get back on the air. I have to redeem myself here.
And I'm sure we'll fact check you on the morning show again tomorrow, too. So we'll get a double dose of it. But what I will say is you put in Philadelphia instead of Chicago, but just insert Democrat city here. So if you want to use L.A., if you want to use Buffalo, Rochester, New York City, that's how bad it is. You screw these things up, Mike, because all of these places are the same.
They really are.
They should be treated the same, too, because they do the same things. This government-controlled grocery store thing, though, if we could just go back.
We have to do that. Yeah.
That is as ridiculous as anything I've ever heard. A government-controlled grocery store. The government can't control health care. They can't control anything. You know, F-35 planes that just go missing and or the budget or you name it, right?
Right.
Now they're going to be controlling grocery stores in that area. Why? Not because they need to in terms of, you know, like every grocery store is out of business, but because grocery stores have said, I don't want to be there because that place is a hellhole, right?
That's exactly right. And that's really the absurdity of it and the humor in it. So this is from Amaya Pawar, senior advisor at Economic Security Project. This is about that, the Chicago-run, city-owned grocery stores. The city of Chicago is reimagining the role of government, Mike.
Stop for a second.
Yeah.
Let's not do that and say we did. Let's never reimagine the role of government unless it's closing government down and reducing the size of it.
That I want to know who first imagined grocery stores run by the city, by the government, and now who's reimagining. So it was an imagination. Let's leave it an imagination. Let's not make it reality.
Yes.
So this was the idea, though. What role can government play in our lives by exploring a public option for grocery stores? Bad idea. Bad idea. Via a municipally owned, Mike. Who owns municipal? Taxpayers?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So municipally owned grocery store and market. Not dissimilar, Mike. So if you're thinking this is maybe going the wrong direction, oh, no. Think like this. Not dissimilar from the way a library or the postal service operates, Mike.
Those super, super, Mike Hayflick dying on the set here, super, Mike, super profitable businesses, the libraries and postal service. I mean,
exactly.
Those companies don't know what to do with the money they produce.
The U.S. Postal Services, we're always hearing about bankruptcy issues.
Yeah,
like they're not making enough money. They are not. So this would be a public option, Mike, though. That offers economic choice and power to communities, Mike. That's what it's all about. Economic choice and power to communities. Oh, like they like school choice, by the way?
Right.
They love school choice. Oh, yeah. Let kids go wherever they think they'll thrive. Oh, no. It's public school or else.
but here's the problem, Mike. They have grocery store choice, I'll call it. They already have it.
Oh, no, you don't.
Not when
they leave.
Right, you don't now, but they did, right? Like I'm going to use Buffalo. Like, you have Save-A-Lot, you have Wegmans, you have Tops, you have Aldi's, you have, what's the one, too? The one that's got great meat now. I'm forgetting it. It's in Buffalo. You have Dash's, right? Like,
Dash's.
You have these places.
Yes.
Right, but you're losing them not because we need grocery store choice, but because they're getting looted and robbed, and it's too expensive to have insurance, to have plexiglass everywhere so people can't steal things. I mean, Mike, I go into I won't use names, but I go into some local places, and there are things in Buffalo now, and I don't mean city of Buffalo, I just mean in suburbs, that are locked up that I'm like, I mean, are you kidding me? Right? Like, why are we locking up the deodorant? Right, like that's like an everyday item that costs $5. Like, do we need to lock that up?
Criminals
really?
Can't afford deodorant. And if they're going to rob a store, they need to smell good, Mike.
Oh my God.
My God, what's wrong with you? So this is the last part of this. This is just doesn't get any better. So this would be a viable way, Mike, to restore access to healthy food in areas that have suffered from, get this, historic and systemic disinvestment. Let's call that business closures. That just need to live. They need to actually be safe. They need to actually preserve their own human lives. That's why they're leaving. This isn't about, well, they had to make some business choices because maybe people weren't buying enough milk and bread and sugar in the local Chicago neighborhoods. No, they were running for their lives, for God's sake. They were shutting down. They couldn't shut down fast enough and get those stores closed.
Seriously, what is the over-under on the negative... The net losses this grocery store in Chicago will have, it's got to be in like $20 million, right? A year. It's just going to lose because what they're going to do is they're going to open it. You're going to have your first crime spree or storm in Chicago, and the whole place is going to get looted. And by the way, when they say, like you said, Mike, municipally owned. So when the looting happens, there's no insurance. What the insurance is the taxpayer, right? So not only are you paying for the store, you're paying for all the bullshit that happens inside the store.
So all you municipalities and all your businesses that actually had to remain, you're going to actually pay more because there's going to be theft and there's going to be issues. There's going to be destruction. Isn't it something
how these
liberal leaders, they allow the destruction? These cities turn into scenes like from like the Mad Max movies of old. They're like apocalyptic looking. And then they come in on their white horses and say, wait, we have answers. Municipally owned grocery stores. Like, it is unbelievable. And they prey upon stupidity. If anybody thinks that this is legit and that it's correct and just, I mean, you've got to, I feel so bad for you. You've got to go and figure out what's wrong with your senses,
your brain,
your mental. The mental illness is certainly upon you if you cannot read through this. How disgusting and hypocritical it is.
Last thing I'll say, like, this isn't hard, right? This type of thing. By the way, Mike, you know, when we're starting to pass out food from the government, what does that sound like? I don't know. North Korea, China, right?
Depression,
like, right? Like
Great Depression.
That's not good, like, right?
Cheese lines, the bread lines, the rationing, the, you know,
This is the new Democrat run city, right? We're gonna give you any food you need. Okay, sure. Mm-hmm. And what are we gonna have food stamps inside the municipally owned grocery store? Like, is that next? I mean, this is not good, right? And the problem I have with it is, to our point that we always make, 2 + 2 = 4, right? Things cost money, and the taxpayers have to pay. That's how it works. And to do this, and to take losses on it, and to cost the government, or the government, which then costs the taxpayer even more money, come on, folks, this isn't hard to understand. I mean, like, I'm not trying to be funny at this point. This is not hard to understand. It's basic math.
Basic math, and they don't get it. They don't know what basic math means.
Not even close to getting it.
Well, let's move a little bit east from Chicago to another big city, a bigger city even still, New York City.
All right.
Where things obviously are handled with much more common sense, Mike. So
sure.
They're tackling the important stuff. Let's just start there. They Mayor Adams in New York City had said, Mike, this illegal immigrant problem is going to be a financial tsunami. And I think that's probably right. And so you've got to stop the illegal immigrants from coming into our state and then into your city, Mayor Adams. But that's not going to happen. So this is what they're going to now tackle, Mike. So, you know, this illegal immigration issue, it's just out of control, right? 40,000, we said only 2% of them actually sought work visas. You don't even know if they were approved. So this is what they want to do now. They're considering removal of George Washington statues, and they're considering reparations, Mike, because it's long overdue. And this is all amid budget cuts, of course. So let's go back to destroy history, destroy statues that represent the first president of our United States, of which we're all free. We have liberty, you have independence, you have all these freedoms of speech and assembly and religion, but let's destroy statues of George Washington. And by the way, let's also consider reparations for all the injustices that have happened over the years. So, Mike, I mean, you said it, like they don't solve problems. They ignore problems or let them get bigger. And then they move on to the more culturally woke type topics.
I get that everybody's not perfect and that we've had our struggles as a country, as a world, right? Like, there's been bad people, Adolf Hitler we bring up all the time, like, terrible human being, right? You know, you look at President Xi or Putin, not great people. But, like, what's wrong with George Washington? The guy founded the damn country we live in, right? Like, he's one of the founders of our country. The same country that you walk around with your iPhone and your flat screen TV that you steal because you need to live, right?
Like, the same general who fought and defeated the British tyranny that we now no longer have to live under, Mike. So here's the Cultural Affairs Committee. This is what they wish to do, Mike. Remove works of art that depict a person who owned enslaved persons or directly benefited economically from slavery or who participated in systemic crimes against indigenous peoples or other crimes against humanity. That's what they're now referring to George Washington. Now, George Washington likely did own slaves. He had slaves who worked for him. That was the times, folks. 240 years ago, that's what people did. Blacks owned slaves and whites owned slaves. And it was wrong. Another great president named Abraham Lincoln said, we have to do this emancipation. We can't allow slavery anymore. Remember that one, Mike? Like Civil War. Mm-hmm. These are good changes that were made in this country. But no, they want to go all the way back to the founder, the most prominent, you know, president we might have ever had. Maybe Reagan's up there now. And they just want to remove statues, remove, erase history.
Here's the deal. If you want to play the indigenous land card, fine. Let's play that card. Get your ass off your couch because you're on indigenous land too, and
that's
get the hell out of America.
Get out.
And get out.
Right.
If you want to play that game, just like Ben and Jerry's did, we need to, you know, the July 4th is a bad day in our country. You know, we're on indigenous land. Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben and Jerry's, you are too. Close your business. Get
right.
the hell out.
Right.
If that's
did they, Mike, by the way? I wonder.
No.
Okay.
No,
yeah, I don't shop, but
no.
I have a feeling that you're going to find Ben and Jerry's ice cream still
in
privately owned grocery stores across the country.
And probably now municipally owned grocery stores it'll be in too.
Right.
I mean, again, Mike, you and I will say this a million times. Of course slavery was a bad thing, and of course it should have been ridded of in 1850, whatever, 1860, whatever. And of course it should have been probably in the 1700s. But that's the world it was, and that's not making an excuse for it.
Right.
You have to learn, right? You have to your whole life, Mike, what do you do every day? You learn, right?
Yeah.
The whole century before us and the century before that, we've learned things, right? And we've fixed things. You know, American workers used to get paid about 5 cents an hour.
That's right.
Right? And then we learned that you can't do that anymore. You have to pay people. And then we fixed that, right? I mean, it's amazing to say, too, like you look at a George Washington, if not for George Washington and the founding fathers, we are not here.
We're not here.
Would you prefer that? Would you prefer to be under the rule of somebody else? Yes or no?
Well, a lot of these liberals that just get on these committees, cultural affairs committees,
yeah.
I think they say these things, but if you ever said you should just leave, like it really is unfair. It's an awful place to be.
Yeah.
You don't see them all going across the other side of the borders. Are they fleeing to Canada and are they fleeing to Mexico?
It's so terrible. 9,000 people a day are walking over our border. It's so bad, right?
It's so bad.
Yeah, it's so bad.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
We actually made positive changes in this country over the last couple plus two plus centuries. And they just won't acknowledge that. They want to get us back to those days. Just so infuriating, isn't it? Anyway.
What kills me about it, though, Mike, is what you're actually doing is you're hurting the people that you continue to say you're helping. That's what bothers me about this, right? Like, we need to get rid of history. Okay, so we'll stop teaching history in school. Fine. Math is racist. Okay, so we won't do math in school anymore.
Right.
Fine. Education, the whole educational system is racist. Okay, so people don't go to school anymore. Okay, so what are we doing, right? We're making society dumber, and we're hurting society. So these
people
can't get good jobs. They can't make money to support a family. They can't live a normal life. That's what you're doing. It drives me insane.
Absolutely.
And then we have municipally owned grocery stores now.
Well, I'm hoping. I think the cheese will be better. It'll be far better.
Yeah.
I hope it's those big, really big blocks of cheese that people actually had to depend upon. That's what they think the answer is. Not encourage these businesses to stay by keeping the neighborhoods and the community safe. No. Just replace it with government, because government's always the answer. And lastly, Mike, today, I thought, you know, I just want to do something for you. I want you to be able to connect. I mean, you have so many online friends now, people, connections that are probably also millennials. But here's another millennial. I believe she was 33. I think I looked her up to be 33. Maren Morris, Mike, a country singer.
I wasn't going to look at this headline, and now I know who it is. Okay,
a country singer. I don't know. I truly don't know a song she sang.
I don't know. Yeah.
So. No offense to her as a singer and artist. She sounds amazing. She sounds tremendous. But let me just for a second, too, by the way, the millennial label. I want people to understand this whole generations thing. So if you are as confused as I often am about generations, the Gen Z generation I'm just going to go by age. So if you're between 11 and 26, you're likely a Gen Z, or that's what they
want you to
feel
like. So how many of your kids
like.
Are in that? Both?
Both.
Both.
Yeah, they both fall.
Okay.
Millennials, though, 27 to 42, that's the range they're using here. So millennials, 27 years old to 42 years old. This is who we're talking about today in this last segment.
Damn it. That's me. Yeah.
Then Gen X. Yeah. I just sneak into the Gen X. So Gen X is 43 to 58 year old, so I'm on the higher end of the Gen X. I actually always said, though, just as an aside, I've always really I think, identified more with like baby boomers who, I guess you could really argue that's anyone from 59 to 77 years old.
It is 2023. You can identify as whatever please, Mike.
When I'm not identifying as a clothes washing machine, I might identify as a baby boomer human being because I think those people, and I know I work with a lot of these people, but they have such integrity, such a commitment to work, a commitment to family and community. Like I really,
A
love for America. Yeah. I love baby boomers, and I mean that. So I always feel like even my wife and I, Lisa and I, we identify kind of to that next higher, older generation. Not to say I don't identify with you, Mike, and your other Gen, is it Zers?
No, we're Gen.
Millennials, sorry. Millennials, I'm already getting this confused.
But there is a letter with it. I just don't know what they used. Maybe Y, Gen Y?
I don't know. It depends if you're, people are angry at you. It might be a different letter. It might start with an F and end with a U.
Yeah. I feel that way about my generation.
I think sometimes you do. So you might not fit in with your generation in many respects. No. But anyway, so this is Maren Morris. Of course, she needs to leave country music now, Mike. And this is what she said. She said, after the Trump years, people's biases were on full display. It just revealed who people really were and that they were proud to be misogynistic and racist and homophobic and transphobic. All these things were being celebrated, and it was weirdly dovetailing with this hyper-masculine branch of country music. I call it butt rock, B-U-T-T, rock.
They're so clever.
So it's Trump's fault, Mike, that country music took a wrong turn, according to Maren Morris.
Well, I mean, she has a point. What isn't Trump's fault in 2023, right? I mean, everything.
When in doubt,
right?
It's Trump.
Yeah, when in doubt, just throw him in there. You started the segment off about this. No offense to Maren Morris. I'm going to go the opposite way. Offense to Maren
Morris. Offense to Maren Morris.
You are a special type of person because, again, you can feel the way you feel about Trump, and you have every right to feel that way. I am not going to tell somebody that they need to love Trump or hate Trump. I personally am a Trump fan. I've always been, and I always will be. But country music has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Right. I mean, like what does that have to do with anything? Country music, of all the types of music, is probably the least misogynistic.
He always uses them. Remember that song, Proud to Be an American, right? It's always playing, and people get so upset about that.
I mean, country music, when I think of country music, what do I think of? Drinking beer, sitting out in looking at the stars, or finding some girl that you love, or
sad
whatever
songs,
it is.
Like, reflection.
Yeah, like, it's not,
dog sitting up by your side, maybe you're sitting on the back of a pickup truck.
Exactly, right? Like
dirt blowing around, it's just like a great scene, right?
Yeah. Country living, right?
Country
like it's
living.
Country living. That's what it is. And yes, there are a lot of conservatives in the country. There's no doubt about that. But those songs were not like, yeah, women stink, or like, yeah, we should all be racist. Where are those songs, Maren? Like I don't hear those. Right?
These people like Maren Morris are like bipolar, and I don't mean to, again, mental depression and different afflictions like this, not to be made fun of. But listen to this. This is what she said. She dismissed the rise of songs like Try That in a Small Town, right? She says, people are streaming these songs out of spite. And this is where the loving, intellectual Maren Morris comes out, Mike. She says, it's not out of true joy or love of the music. It's to own the libs. And that's so not what music is intended for. Music is supposed to be the voice of the oppressed, the actual oppressed. And now it's being used as this really toxic weapon in culture wars. Doesn't it sound like intellectual and like you just want to give her a hug and say, Maren, yeah, I'm with you. Oh, you're such a loving person. Oh, these others they're just Trumpers. And they're nasty people. They're misogynistic. They're homophobic, right? So this is the loving Maren Morris. But then she goes on to say this, Mike. She says, after Brittany Aldean, another great country star, she says, I'd really like to thank my parents for not changing my gender when I went through my tomboy phase. I love this girly life. This is Morris's response. Remember, loving, open-minded, intellectual Maren Morris. It's so easy to, not be a scumbag human. Sell your clip-ins and zip it, insurrection Barbie. Loving Maren Morris, right? More words from Maren. you know, I'm glad she didn't become a boy either, because we really don't need another a-hole dude in the world. Sucks when Karens try to hide their homophobia, transphobia behind their protectiveness of the children. Weren't they putting their kids in Biden is a pedo shirts on social media? Sounds like a real safe way to protect them from millions of eyes. Then, lastly, Mike,
shut your big yapper.
That's what we, yes, we need Marin to. The last thing, F all the way off to Insurrection Barbie and the fellow IBs, you're going to have to help me on that, trolling this comment section with their hypocritical, hateful asses, is essentially what she said. So isn't this something, how this notion of, well, I've been part of the lovely country music all my life, and but because of a guy like Trump, I have to leave. And then she goes and just berates and bashes. Like, I can't even think of how to be as nasty as that, Maren Morris. So kudos to you.
So here's the problem. These people are the most mentally deranged, sicko people. Like, I will say, Trump derangement syndrome, I feel bad for people that have it, because I've said this a lot, and I'm going to say it on the air too. Trump derangement syndrome has infected more people than COVID has, and I really mean that. Right,
it's infected, and it's
a mental illness that is probably not curable, honestly. Until Trump, sadly, for me, I'll say this. I know the left wouldn't say this. To your point, they'd be like, hey, "I hope he dies." Like, no. Until Trump sadly passes away, and it might not even end when he passes away, because you have his sons and you have other people. But this virus, this illness, is a mental problem for so many Americans. And this woman is an example of that. By the way, Mike, it's so unfair and oppressive, the music industry. She's worth, $8 million. Okay, no big deal. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure she'll give it all back, Mike.
Yeah, it's oppressive. Yeah.
To your point, if she really, really, truly loved country music and is so just distraught about the direction it has taken, wouldn't you think she'd become this warrior for country music the way it should be? You would just be, singing even more loving, awesome kind of, folksy kinds of songs.
Own the Republicans, like you said. Own the libs, right?
Right.
You should do the opposite.
Wouldn't you become a warrior for that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. You leave. You're going to leave it. Are you going to stop making money? Are you going to stop singing? Are you that offended that you don't want to sing and enrich yourself anymore, Maren? Like, it's just hilarious.
Trivia question for today, Mike. When will her next country album come out?
Right.
I will say within 1 year,
yes,
she will have another country album within 1 year. It's like everybody who says, I'm leaving Twitter. Elon Musk is a homophobic racist.
I wrote these songs and had to perform them under duress.
Yeah, okay.
It was for my fans.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't do it to enrich myself. Yeah. So I'm not touring to enrich myself.
Yeah.
No. I had to do it.
I'm leaving Twitter, but
hilarious.
I'll tweet another couple days. Yeah,
it's
okay, sure.
Just great. Great stuff. Anyway, folks, so financialguysmedia.com to find this and our other two podcasts, Wednesdays and Thursdays. What do you got coming up this Thursday?
David Bellavia will be joining me. We're
going to
talk
a
little bit about losing F-35s that cost the country $80 million. We're going to talk about the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And a few other things, going on in the country with the world and our military, and obviously David being a Medal of Honor recipient, I want to talk through some of the things that we're seeing here and, where our military is right now and where he thinks it's going to go. Are we weak? Are we strong? I trust a former military member's background on that more than I would trust me or you, Mike, because we're a little bit soft, you and I. We're not too tough. So,
Speak for yourself, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Speak for yourself.
So
I can do a plank.
Yeah, well, hey, good for
28
you.
28 seconds I got.
That's
no,
not bad.
I don't know what it is.
I
no.
can't plank more than 5
No, so David Bellavia, sure to be a great interview. Great, great man, great patriot.
Yeah.
So find that podcast. That's Thursday's episode. You'll find Mike and Glenn for Wednesday. And don't forget, Monday, Wednesday, Friday's morning mics every morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:15 to 8:30 live. If you can't listen live, just listen online at financialguysmedia.com. That'll do it, folks. We appreciate you tuning in. Keep up the fight. We try. For Mike Sparazza, I'm Mike Hayflick. See you next week.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.